Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odds. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Did we check the door in the studio for explosive material, Kevin? Yeah, are we all clear?
I had the dogs come in earlier.
The dogs came in and sniffed?
I think you're good.
All right. Did anybody pat down Eric over here?
How did I get in the middle of all this?
People were accusing him of...
I got about a half a dozen tweets yesterday.
Yeah,
people were saying
that
Rook,
Eric,
you're hanging around Eric.
No, people that were saying Eric is rubbing off on Rook. That's what people were saying.
They lose one game, and all of a sudden, people are just lobbing accusations all over the place.
They're drilling into me because I had the gall to suggest that the Patriots actually think about moving on from TB12. That's the only thing that people are getting me on.
Well, with who? Because I don't want Ryan Mallett in there.
I don't either. I don't either. And we knew this before the season started that he's a drop back measure. If something happens, he beat out Tim Tebow for the competition. He's not the answer. We all know the answer. All I'm doing is basically saying, hey, there's a 500-pound gorilla in the room. When there's a 500-pound gorilla in the room, I'm just being obvious. I'm Captain Obvious today. So that part we know. The other part, though, is to consider what to do about the future. And all I said was, and again, I will repeat it because I've had two or three people also say, oh, I'm quitting the playbook because after the first 15 minutes, it was nonsense. Okay, that's fine. You don't have to agree. Tell me why you don't agree rather than be a baby and whine and say, well, I'm quitting the playbook. That's stupid. I mean, if we didn't have disagreements, would we have talk radio in this country, for God's sake? Ask Rush Limbaugh about that one, And I realize this is a sports show, and we talk about a lot of different things. This is the football show, but we talk about a lot of different things on this show because, frankly, a lot of different things go into the sport of football and vice versa. And we try to relate life to football and football to life and everything else because the general audience listening to this program also has life to leave. A life to lead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's why we do what we do.
Plus, it's interesting.
Well, that's what I thought. And I'm going to open up today by reading a quick little Facebook post from our friend Michael, who says, I like to hear all viewpoints, consider them, and then make my own thought. The PFW show is enjoyable, but show that those guys do not listen, and then they jump on a view that they have not fully considered. Don't stop putting out valuable thoughts. Continue letting callers put out provocative thoughts. Anything wrong with that?
Well, why can't you put out a provocative
thought? Well, that's what I did too. And I put out a provocative thought. I put out something that probably could best be described as heresy in a lot of circles.
Fred called it blasphemy.
Blasphemy. Mm-hmm. And Fred, I understand that. And Fred, I know, was saying it half tongue in cheek.
Yes, of course.
But, people need to remember that in 2 or 3 years anyway, this is going to be visited, and it's going to be visited rather strongly. And so all I'm saying is if you're going to go with the current skill set that you have at some of these skill positions the current New England Patriots have for the foreseeable future, I'd like to find a quarterback that might have a skill set that matches because they're not on the same page. We saw them regress last week. And, yes, if you bothered to listen to the entire show yesterday, you'd also say, I'm okay with taking 2 steps forward and 1 back. 2 forward and 1 back. 2 forward and 1 back. Because then at least you're making slow and steady progress. What I don't want to see is 1 step up and 1 back. Or 1 step up and 2 back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this last week was a step back against Cincinnati. Agreed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Saw some confusion. We also saw, Brady with some poor throws. We also saw Brady with some happy feet. We also saw Brady get hammered 8 times. 4 sacks. Okay? That can't continue. The offensive line had a bad day. If the offensive line doesn't improve and we don't have better skill position players, then we better find a mobile quarterback or this team isn't doing a lot of winning for the long haul. Period. End of discussion. That's what I said. Now, what did I say that was wrong? See, he can't come up with it.
No.
You can't come up with it.
No, I mean, look, the guy's 36 years old.
Yes, and I want him to be here to 40 or 42. Because if he can, shoot, that means we're having some unbelievable success.
Well, his contract gets him to 40.
Yes, I'd love to see that happen. 40. And I think that's reasonable.
And very, very rarely have 40-year-olds played quarterback at a high level in this league.
Correct.
So,
unless your name is George Blanda.
Well, yeah, but he was a kicker at that point.
He was also a quick kicker.
You know, the time is rapidly approaching when you really seriously need to think about who takes over for him as the starting quarterback.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
I don't think that day is today. I don't think it's next week.
No, it's not.
He has a contract that runs through when he's 40. So sometime between now and the end of this contract, I think you need to have that person in place. I don't think it's Ryan Mallett.
No, it's not. It's not. All I did was I threw out a couple of names. And by the way, I put it out on my Twitter account today. So you got to follow me on Twitter, at JR Broadcaster, to see what I put out today on these two guys, Taj Boyd and Jameis Winston. But the ACC did a really cool little mini digital feature on these two, and they married the two and their talents to an old-time video game, and it was really cool. So if you follow me on Twitter, you'll be able to see what I'm talking about, some of the individual talents of two guys like Boyd and Winston, who are the prototype for quarterbacks, I think, for the foreseeable future in the NFL. That's what I'm saying. These two guys can stand in the pocket. These two guys are not zone read option guys first, although they certainly can play that and they can play it well. But they are pocket guys. They got strong arms. They got pinpoint accuracy. These guys are the cream of the crop, as far as I'm concerned, right now in college football, as far as a quarterback is concerned.
Because, Bridgewater?
And Teddy Bridgewater, you can throw in there as well. Because they can throw with pinpoint accuracy as well. Strong arms. Good vision. They can lead their teams. They can put a team on their shoulders. Read into this, if you will, with subpar receivers, and they can get a team into the end zone and score. And I think that's what the Patriots might need. I'm not trying to denigrate TB12, okay? He's terrific. He's my guy. He always will be. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm just saying that if you're looking at the good of the team, which is what BB says all the time, we do what's in the best interest of the football team. This is a decision that should be made, in my humble opinion. There you go.
Okay.
And I based that on a humble opinion on being an employee of this franchise for 21 years and covering it for over a quarter of a century now.
And,
so I think I'm somewhat qualified.
Coming off of what was his worst game that I can recall seeing.
It was a bad game.
In a long time.
It was a bad game.
If not ever.
Did you go have Montgomery in ribs, though? Did you go do that?
I didn't go to either Montgomery or Skyline
on.
Chili. I wussed out.
I didn't go
anywhere that night. I didn't go anywhere. It was
such a fuddy-duddy.
I know. There was part of our group that did go to Montgomery.
You dragged your ass down there. You know that, right?
Listen. Part of our group had reservations at Montgomery Inn.
And what happened?
They, like the Seinfeld episode, you know how to take the reservation. You don't know how to keep the reservation.
Oh.
They made them wait an hour before they seated them.
Oh, that is pretty stupid.
After their,
all right.
You know, they got
well,
there.
Well, then you can blame the Montgomery Inn.
And that was told, it was their first time there, the ribs were okay. The ribs were really good, but it's not worth waiting an hour after you've made a reservation.
I understand. So, if you've made the reservation and you got to wait an hour, move on.
And it's not the food isn't that good that it's worth waiting.
The food's pretty good. The food's pretty good.
Oh, that's what I was told. I would wait
15 to 30 for my reservation, but I would not wait any more than that. An hour is uncalled for. Shame on the restaurant
even
for 30, taking the reservation.
Even 30 is kind
it's of pushing it. Yeah. Pushing it. If you're making a reservation. So shame on the restaurant.
And on the way to the game, we took a shortcut through off the highway because there was an accident or something.
All right.
And we drove by a Skyline Chili.
Come on, and you didn't stop.
No. Well, I'm part of the convoy. We can't stop. So
where'd you end up going?
I didn't go anywhere.
Oh,
I didn't go anywhere,
man.
Because if we were staying.
You couldn't have convinced your driver to go to Skyline?
If we were staying in the city, which we were not, I would have made the effort. But it was pouring rain. I just wasn't feeling it. There was Major League
Why
Baseball
am I hearing?
Because you're a Peanuts fan.
Okay.
So I didn't make the effort. I could have made the effort, but
that's
I didn't.
Weak.
I didn't.
You are worthless and weak. Drop and give me 20. Here he's dropping and giving me 20. Look at this. There he goes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way down, Scal.
Good form there.
7, 8, 9. Now that's excellent form. 10.
You should be
11,
filming this on your new
12.
Phone,
oh, I should be. 13. Wait a second. 14. Wait. 15. I gotta find the camera app. 16. 17. Wait. I'm gonna take a picture and we'll tweet it out. Hold on. I'm good at this now. No, get back
I
down
did
there.
My 20.
Get your ass back down there.
He did do his 20. 20.
He did. All right.
And I broke my my badge in the process.
He's got his new phone,
broke,
Eric.
He
and
broke
he wants
his
to
bad.
Take pictures of everything.
I know. I do. For those that may be wondering, I bought the Samsung last night because I asked the listeners yesterday which one I should go with.
Oh, they didn't tell you to get an iPhone?
It was about 50-50. iPhone, Samsung, I had one suggest the HTC, which I thought was pretty cool as well. I had another one suggest a Nokia, which was pretty cool.
I hope this thing still works.
Oh, it should. Oopsie, I made Eric break his badge now. Gosh, Eric, how long have you had that? About 18 years?
Breaking badge?
Yeah.
Very
good.
How about that?
Ba-doom. Shh.
Okay. Actually, I'll be right back. I want to test this just so that I know that it works.
Okay. He's going to go out now and try to come back in, see if the security will let him back in, because I made him drop and give me 20 for, you know, messing up and not taking advantage of the culinary delicacies that are available in the city of Cincinnati. It works. Okay. See, he comes
He's
back
good.
In. He's
All
fine.
Is well.
He's good to go. Well, that's what you get now for not taking advantage of the culinary delicacies of Cincinnati, of the Queen City.
Trust me, I was disappointed in myself because I was, after all you talked it up, I kind of wanted to try the Skyline place more because I think I have been to the Montgomery Inn before, the last time we went to Cincinnati.
And the ribs are fine. They're good. They're actually very good. But if, wait for an hour? No, I wouldn't have either. I wouldn't have done that either.
And those of us that didn't have a reservation, we were told the wait was 2.5 hours.
Good God.
So that would have been out completely. And I think I have been there before.
It was a Saturday night, though.
The one time I went to Cincinnati before this, I'm pretty sure that's where we were, was the Montgomery Inn.
Right.
Pretty sure that's where it was. So Skyline would have been the one to do.
All right. All right, well, at any rate, since we love to digress, especially when it comes to food, that's what we did with Cincinnati. But our original point was you went to Cincinnati,
yes,
and you saw one of TB12's
poorer
performances.
Ever. One of his worst games ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and looking at the tape on Monday only confirmed it. A lot of his incompletions were directly his fault.
Yeah. Poor. Happy feet, throwing at, you know, low, pulled too quick on the trigger. It was not Tom Brady.
Behind.
It's not the Tom Brady that we're used to seeing.
And indecision was another uncharacteristic thing that I saw during that game. There were a couple of times he had a guy wide open somewhere, sometimes more than one wide open, and he wasn't decisive in where he wanted to go with it. And one of the sacks, in particular, was a result of that indecision. He had at least two guys, even three guys open on one play, and was standing around, patting the ball, and then he decides to back up, and a player who was on the ground just kind of swiped at his foot and took him down.
Took him down. Come on.
That's not the O-line's fault.
Who does that?
That's not the O-line's
fault. I know. Come on. Who does that? I thought maybe there was, you know, we were feeling a little pressure back there, and I was disappointed. And so it just got me thinking. I'm thinking, all right, we need to start thinking these directions. Now, like I said, if Tom's still quarterbacking at age 40, that means that we've gotten him some weapons, and that's a good thing for this team. So I'm not going to argue that point. But I am going to say that this is something that does need to be paid attention to. It may not have anything to do with the current malaise that we find this offense in and overall in the big picture. And it certainly may not have anything to do, or we can't really do anything about the fact that, it's going to help this team get better for New Orleans this Sunday, because it won't. We're not going to make a decision on that one because Tom Brady's the quarterback. So how best do we get the current receiver set and skill set to match up with what Tom is doing? And like I said, as long as we continue to see a couple steps forward, you can accept the one step back. Last week was the step back. So I firmly expect that if these guys are the answer and we're continuing to see improvement in the young guys, in the Wookiees, as we like to call them, there it goes, then we need to see a step forward this week. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, I hate to bring logic into the equation.
I didn't think the receivers actually had as bad a game against
Cincinnati.
Brady?
Well, I thought that Cincinnati's defensive backs did a really good job of playing tight coverage and not allowing these guys into their routes. I thought they did a pretty good job. I thought they were fairly physical with them. I thought they did a pretty good job of manning with them. And the one thing that rookie receivers generally have a problem with is the athleticism in the NFL and breaking free and clear of some of these professional defensive backs. And I thought that's what Cincinnati did. I don't think they did anything fancy. I thought they just basically manned up, and I thought they did a pretty good job with it. So the receivers now need to learn, okay, someone's going to play me like that. I got to do this in order to be able to get free so Tom can find me. Does that make any sense? Yeah. I think you have to give the credit to Cincinnati's defense more so than say the rookie receivers screwed up.
Yeah, I don't think they had as bad a game or as a unit as they have in other games.
Well, sure. Earlier in the year, yes, but it's still a step back. So what I want to see now is I want to see them take that learning experience in Cincinnati and let's go forward with it, because I don't believe that the secondary of New Orleans is as good athletically, at least based on my initial observations here, is as good as what we saw against Cincinnati. Now, clearly, the pass rush could be every bit as good, if not a little bit better, this week. When you look at a guy like Cameron Jordan, a guy like Junior Gallette, who are getting after it, and I think it's a huge reason why New Orleans is 5-0 going into the game. But if you can step up and find these guys and give them an opportunity, then I think you might be able to do some damage against that secondary, provided you're able to buy Tom a little bit of time. And to me, that would be one of the first things I would look at in terms of matchups for this week. Obviously, Rob Gronkowski coming back is of importance, but I think that he'll be spoon-fed. I don't think they're going to lump him back in there and say, all right, big fella, let's go give me 10 and a couple of touchdowns. I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think that's going to happen. I think he'll be spoon-fed back in. So to say that you can expect him to get a 100-yard receiving game probably is a little overzealous. I just don't think you can expect that right off the bat. I think they're going to have to bring him back in somewhat gradually. Speaking of Gronk, how about an injury report today?
He was out there again.
Okay.
And day to day, according to Bill Belichick. Aren't we all?
Mm-hmm. In the game of life, we're all day to day.
Yeah, we all are. Absolutely. Stephen Ridley was back on
the
field.
That's good news. Because if he's back, that adds another weapon and a dimension on offense.
Well, he was back at practice. I mean, I wonder how bad a knee injury that kept you out of practice for 3 days and a game suddenly clears itself up.
I would ask that question too, but we won't get answers to it.
Of course. On the downside, Tommy Kelly, who hurt his right knee in the Cincy game late, not out there. Leon Washington, who hurt his ankle on the opening kickoff, not out there. And
he's not going to be around too much longer.
I don't think so either. Rookie Michael Buchanan, defensive end, who's been getting a lot of reps.
He's been a bright spot, yes.
Not out there. Not sure why, but we'll find out in an hour and a half when the injury report comes out.
Okay.
Could not be, potentially it's not injury-related, but injury-related, that's tough to say.
All of the initial, reaction to what happened to Kelly seemed to be positive, seemed to be favorable. He got on the bus, wasn't limping.
They signed a defensive tackle today, though that might not have as – they probably should have done that anyway. Mm-hmm. But, Kelly having an issue crop up certainly probably was the straw that maybe broke the back on their having to do that. But
maybe they're just trying to protect themselves depth-wise.
Because they don't have much there.
Don't have a lot.
Aaron Neblett is the new guy. Mm-hmm. He's a veteran, played with Carolina mostly, signed with Tampa this past year but didn't make it past camp.
Okay.
Short, stocky kind of player.
Run stuffer. Take a couple of blockers. Basically a space eater, right?
Yeah. That's what I'd say.
Right. Although I would be surprised if he got any time or a lot of time, maybe even any time, as soon as this week, because I fully expect that we probably have, a nickel package involved against Drew Brees this week, which means
not a dime.
Yeah, or a dime, which means, of course, that we might not see Brandon Spikes a lot this week either.
Maybe not, because when they go nickel, usually Spikes is off.
Yeah, right, right.
And they've been playing nickel a hell of a lot this year.
Yeah.
It's their base. It really is their base.
Yeah, I understand.
It really is.
Which means Kyle Arrington's in there.
Yeah.
So, right. Okay. All right, here's how you get a hold of us. webradio@patriots.com, the email, the toll-free telephone number, 855-PATS-500. Or you can hit us up on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. And by the way, like I said, follow on Twitter, because I did retweet something that the ACC, Atlantic Coast Conference, sent out on Boyd and Jameis Winston, which was really pretty cool. I'll show it to you in a little bit. But if you've got me on Twitter, then you'll see it, because I retweeted it out earlier today. And then, of course, you can hit me up on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name. I came into the show today.
Real quick, funny, NFL Network is doing an Ageless Wonders Top 10, and George Blanda is now being featured.
Thank you very much.
See how relevant our conversations
Thank
become?
You very much. Thank you very much. He was truly an ageless wonder.
Yeah.
He played in the NFL at 46, I believe. I think he was an active kicker at age 46.
Yeah, might have even been older than that.
That's just off the top of my head. I think,
thought he was in his 50s.
I don't think
kicking.
Did he really kick at age 50?
I think he might have.
I'll have to look that up now. Damn it. I'll have to put my phone to use. You put your phone
I'll
to
put
use.
The phone
you
to use.
Put the phone to use. Somebody else is beating you to it already. You know
probably.
That, right? Okay.
But
we'll do that.
But they have to write in.
Yes,
right here.
That's very true. All right, so you got a lot of different ways that you can get us here on the program, whether or not you agree with the whole Brady premise from yesterday and what the PFW guys picked up today. That's fine. Love to hear from you. Don't just say, oh, it stinks. Tell us why. Tell us why you think that stinks. And if you agree, then tell us why. And then I do have a question of the day that I want to throw out. And one of our listeners brought it up yesterday. In fact, he was one of our callers to the program yesterday. And I told him, I said, I really wanted to save that, and I thought it was good. I'm going to bring it up today. Fact of the matter is that considering the problems that we've talked about with this team, it's still 4-1. It's still actually a game better than what Eric and I both thought this team would be at this stage of the game through 5 weeks. This week is a different matter, but we'll get to that a little bit more tomorrow, perhaps. However, knowing what you know currently about the New England Patriots, what the needs, what the wants are. If you could make a trade for any player in the NFL right now, and money is no issue, contract is no issue, who are you trading for and why? Any player in the NFL, who are you trading for and why?
Larry Fitzgerald.
That's a good one. That's a real good one. I think I'd have to lean heavily toward receiver too, but frankly, I'd lean a little toward Anquan Boldin. I just love the guy. I really would.
Okay.
Again, you know, I know he's
I've
older.
Larry Fitzgerald for several
well,
years.
Well, yeah, and I realize he's an unbelievable talent, but I would lean toward that. Now, there may be somebody else you're thinking of simply because of the current status of the team and, shall we say, the rather large absence on the defensive line that the Patriots now have. So that's why I'm asking the question. We'll do a sort of an unscientific poll here. We'll see where our readers, our listeners, are weighing in on this, literally, today. If you could make a trade for anybody and money is no object, contract is no object in the NFL today, who would you go get? Webradio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500, at JR Broadcaster, John.Rook on Facebook.
And George Blanda? Born in 1927.
Retired
Played his last NFL game in 1975, which makes
48.
Him 48.
48. All right, he was close.
Yeah.
He was close.
And he had one season that he did not play, 1959.
Not close.
But he played, started in 1949 with the Chicago Bears, one season. Played with the Colts, one season, 1950. Went back to the Bears for the next 8 years. Then 1959 did not play. Don't know if he was injured or not. Oilers in the AFL starting in 1960. Then the Raiders from then on.
That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
48 years old.
Even Most, Tom, you know, I don't think Tom Terrific is going to get close to that. No. Sorry. Love TB12. You're not getting to age 48. Now, granted, you know, maybe he would if he was a kicker, too.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that Blanda played into 48. He was a quarterback into his 40s.
Yeah.
He did play quarterback into his 40s for the Oakland Raiders.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Yeah. And he was actually a star quarterback in the old AFL.
Yeah.
So.
The Oilers.
Yes.
When they first started in 1960.
Yes, the Houston Oilers. Correct.
And then the
Raiders. That is correct. All right, to the phones we go. Tyrone's in Delaware, leads us off in the playbook today. Hello, Tyrone.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, Tyrone.
It's a pleasure. You can hear me pretty good. I got you on my headphones.
Yes, sir. Got you good.
Okay. Yo, it's so funny you mentioned that because yesterday I was trying to call PFW, but I know there have been a lot of callers, so I just listened to what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But Sunday, I thought like, the same thing you saying. I thought it, and it makes sense. Because one, but I'll even go a step further. Because one, and a lot of people don't like when I call and bash Belichick, but the window, I told the PFW guys a couple shows back, that the window was close to me. And the window was from 06 to like 011. We should have put the best talent forward while Brady was operational, was in his, you know, Brady was in his prime, win as much rings as you can, and then right now would have been the best time to trade him. Because I'm already open to the fact that that's the best thing for the team. Because one, I love Tom Brady, and I love him.
Okay.
And, you know, but for these wise, it's harder for us to be, to win. We're going to have to, even with a healthy Gronk, we're going to need a trade. We're going to need a blockbuster trade, a Larry Fitzgerald to compete with Denver.
Right.
And we're not there. So what's the sense? So, like I said, this year, like you said, this draft coming up is a quarterback-rich draft. So it would make perfect sense to do that. And like I said, Tom Brady's skills diminish because people got to remember, and I love the guy, but he didn't came in with a lot of athletic to begin, a lot of athletic ability to begin with in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So any little drop-off, you're going to notice. And like I said, he can't throw a deep ball no more. And like you said, you need to have a quarterback. And I kind of disagree with you. I think Mallett, one thing we do know about Mallett, he could throw a deep ball. But whenever Brady threw a deep ball, it's on his it's short. It's short, and people were trying to blame the rain and all that. Yo, remember a couple of years ago, we played in Chicago, up there in Chicago, and it was snowing all over the place. It was snowing. It was a blizzard. And Brady winging the ball all over the place and getting touchdowns. You know, the guy diminished. His skills diminished, and people got to, if you watch the team objectively, like I do, people got to understand that fact. And even though I love Tom Brady, the only thing I'm mad about is that Belichick did not make the proper, Belichick had made the proper, at least in half of his decisions, was correct. Brady would have had one or two more rings. But, you know, when you don't make good decisions, and we cannot say he haven't, you know, it kills the team. And like I said, that is better for me because I know it was there for Brady to get about five. It was there.
All right, okay, let me ask you something, Tyron, and thank you for the support here. But if we are going to, if the Patriots make this decision to turn the page, you know, at some point in time, how far away should we do this? I mean, are we still talking 2 or 3 years? You just said it could be very well a quarterback rich draft this next year. Do you bring somebody in now to work with him a year or two? What do you think?
I think you make the move now since it is a quarterback driven draft. This draft is rich with quarterbacks. You make it now. You don't know what's in the future, but we do know this draft is rich with quarterbacks.
All right.
Why do you think Jacksonville been drafted? They've already been unloading players, getting first-round picks. And right now you can't wait no longer for Brady's skills to diminish more, because you won't get. Because right now, they probably got, because I would like to see Tom Brady,
right,
if it's not, because I don't think Tom Brady will get a ring here.
Right.
I would like Tom Brady to get a fourth ring.
All right. And he would, he would too. There's no doubt about that. All right. And then let me ask you the question of the day. If there's one player you could go get in the NFL via trade today, who would you go get?
Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, Brady going to be here, Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I have a feeling
that'll be a good thing.
Yeah. I think I have a feeling that that's probably going to be an overwhelming choice, but I do want to kind of get the pulse of what, you know, our listening audience, our fans are thinking here. Tyrone, thank you very much for the phone call. Good stuff today. Here's our buddy Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge. Eldridge, you there?
Hey, how you doing there, John?
Good, man.
Okay?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, after I heard the podcast last night, because I was on the road.
Yep.
Came back home. I listened to it.
Yep.
I listened to you today. Well, like I said, I'm an ACC fan anyway. I wish we had to draft E.J. Manuel this year, and that'd be his replacement.
I'm not sold on E.J. Manuel like I am on the other two. I think the other two are prototypical better quarterbacks. But that doesn't mean I think Manuel's a bad guy. I'm not sorry that they made the decision they did. I can understand why Buffalo probably moved him a little higher.
They would have had to trade up to the top five to get him.
Yeah, so I don't think you want to do that. But I got to admit, I'm enamored with Boyd, but I'm even more enamored with Winston. Holy moly. I think that guy can flat out do it.
I like Boyd, too, for Clemson. I saw him Saturday, and man, he was awesome. You know, but if they would do that, I would do that like 2 years from now. If I was drafting this year, when the draft come up, I think the following year, I'll see about Brady. Brady's gone, but I'm a Brady fan. I got his jersey on now, and I'm like, you know what? I don't think it's really, everybody said, well, he's getting old, he's getting this, he's getting that. Yeah. But darn, if your whole line is letting big linemen come in and pop you in the butt and you turn around, you just, darn, where you come from?
Yeah.
And they missing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, like I said, every physical front, the Giants, Cincinnati, you know, the Ravens, the O-line had a problem with it. They had a problem with it until they figured out when it was too late in the game to do that,
mm-hmm.
You know? So I'm like, that, and then plus, the skill set. Besides Welker, and Gronk and Hernandez, then who else was dependable? Besides, 2007, Ross, Gaffney, Stallworth.
Okay.
You know, but we didn't have Gronk, we didn't have Hernandez.
Right.
You know, didn't have a tight end, didn't have really, like, really coming on now.
Right.
They had Maroney, which I think Maroney should have been Maroney.
All right.
You know.
Yep.
Because, like I said, Dylan was the man, and they just thought Maroney was able to take over. He wasn't. And that's why he's not in the league now. You know, because he's not a good runner.
Okay.
But I still say TB. If TB can do it at 36, they give him the right skill players. Or if them rookies, let's say they have a good coming together meeting or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure they've already had that, Eldridge. I'm sure they've already had that.
No. I ain't talking about coming together and talk. I'm talking about coming together and start performing on the field.
Well, yeah, and that's what they're working toward. I mean, obviously, we got to give them an opportunity to continue to do that. But I mean, like I said, I want to see positive steps. You know, every other week. You know, I'm allowing for a little step back because I think that's what happens when you have to go through growing pains. And this team is having to do that on offense. And I do believe because of what transpired in the offseason that this team, this organization, had to realize that this was going to happen this year. So I don't actually think that that's unexpected at all. I just think it's probably a little bit more shocking to the system than everybody really realized. I now want to see them take a step forward. I want to see them learn. I want to see them retain. That's what I want to see them do.
Me too, but I also want to see some separation and some catches besides juggling, grabbing it, you know, 3 or 4 times and you catch it one.
Yeah.
Or it hit you in the hand and I'm like, darn. And it's third and critical. Or it's, you know, or you got a touchdown and he just drops it.
Right.
You know, I understand that too, but to me, this fall on the organization. I mean, darn, you know, you didn't know right away what was happening, but when it did happen, you could at least got a couple of veteran help that could start and play, not the ones that's glass and hurt all the darn time.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot more receivers out there that ain't hurt, that's still sitting on the sofa or whatever they at, you know, that's better than what Amendola and Austin Collie is.
Right.
And better than Edelman.
Okay. Eldridge, I've got loaded phones today, so I want to give everybody a shot here. Tell me who you'd trade for if all things were equal. Who do you get?
I had 2 players in mind, but I'm going Julio Jones.
Even though he may be out for the year?
No, if he wasn't out for the year, that's what I get.
Okay.
If he's out for the year, I'm going to have to go with, Andre Johnson.
You'd still go with Andre Johnson?
Andre Johnson?
Okay. That's fine. Good, solid veteran receiver, guy that can still go get it, still athletic enough to do it. I like it. That's actually a pretty good one. All right. Thank you. Here's Joe in Jersey. Joe, you're in the playbook.
Hey, brother. What's going on?
Hi, Joe.
Little disappointed that you went with the Samsung. Kind of bummed.
Well, I understand that. You know what? By the way, Joe, my girlfriend really wanted me to get the iPhone 2 because she really wanted to FaceTime. You know, so that was very important.
Which is why John went with the Samsung.
He's always got.
Damn you, Eric. Damn you.
Just kidding, Robin.
Yeah, she's listening.
I know.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. No, the real reason I went with it, and it's an outstanding phone, and I think even iPhone users will probably realize it. It's just got a bigger screen, and it means I don't have to pick up my glasses and look at it as much. You know, that's all. That was the main driving factor in my decision.
All right. Well, I have two things for you today.
Go.
First off, I think with the whole Tom Brady thing, I think people need to back off and take a step back and stop chasing after you with pitchforks. Because what are they going to do in 3 years' time when this is actually a reality? Are they going to jump off a cliff? Like, they're going to have to face it at some point. So I just think, you know, people got to start being a little realistic, start looking towards the future. And I did watch a little bit of film on Boyd last night. Looked good, I have to say. I agree with you.
People need to watch Clemson play this year. First of all, Clemson's got a very good team. They could eat. You know, I can't wait for the Clemson-Florida State game, I think, in about 3 weeks. 2 weeks, 3 weeks? I think it's the 19th. Which is a little over a week away, really. But I'm telling you, I think that could be, you know, that could be a really fun game to watch. Those are two of the best teams, the ACC, which has been lousy in football for the last decade or so. Those are two of the best teams to come out of that conference in a long time. Probably since Florida State first got into the ACC and dominated that league by like winning, you know, 25 or 28 games in a row. It's clearly these two teams are the best caliber teams they've had in a long time.
I agree. And then the other thing I was going to say is I posed this question to the PFW guys. I just wanted to get your point of view before I answer your trade question, which, by the way, you're welcome for that.
Yes, that's right. It was you, Joe. Thank you for that. That was awesome.
Great.
That's a good job out of you. You'll get half of Kevin's pay. Kevin, what's half of zero?
I think zero.
Okay.
Or 0.0.
0.0. Mr. Plutarski, 0.0.
How would you attack and or defend the Saints? Because as I said, I'm like deathly afraid of Graham and Sproles. I think Graham is just unbelievable. And, you know, I don't want to see number 31 or 25 chasing after him down the field, but I have a feeling I'm going to see that a few times. At the very least.
So yeah, Jimmy, clearly Jimmy Graham is the best tight end in football right now. You can't make any other claims one way or the other because then you'd just be kidding yourself. That's the guy that the Patriots need to find a way to get a handle on. I don't think that the Patriots linebackers who have struggled at times in coverage this year, I think this will be really interesting to see how the Patriots decide to limit him, if not shut him down. They may decide to shut down the other options and say, all right, beat us with Graham if you can, but we're going to take everything else away. And frankly, I could see them doing that.
Yeah, that's what I figured. As far as the trade goes, I think barring money and all that, if money wasn't an issue, I think the best all-around choice would be probably Larry Fitzgerald. I don't want to be repetitive, but it's kind of true. I think from a demeanor standpoint, the way he carries himself, he's a leader. He's been healthy for the most part. He's damn good, and his career is wasting away in Arizona.
Yeah.
All those reasons, I agree. That's why I brought him up.
I was going to say maybe Hakeem Nicks, but I did a little digging, and, I mean, just seems like every other week he's either doubtful or he's got a nagging hamstring injury from what I've seen. But
he's no Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, that's how I feel, and I just think he'd be a nice compliment. Got all the intangibles plus the tangibles. I just think best all-around choice would be Mr. Fitz.
All right. Joe, I like the choices. I like the comments. That's an excellent job by you. Here's Patrick in Brooklyn, New York. Hey, Patrick, you're in the playbook.
How are you, John?
Excellent.
John, a couple things. I'll answer the one question about the trade first. I would trade for a guy that I think is gettable, and that's Hakeem Nicks, although I don't know if Belichick has a good enough relationship with the Giants to get him, but I know the Giants are really on the fence about whether they want to bring Hakeem Nicks back, and he does have a little bit of an injury problem. So this is, I think, when you get a player who might be, his stock is down a little bit, the team is down a little bit, maybe you can get him, you know, on the cheap. So that's the first thing.
That's interesting. But now this is obviously two callers in a row that have mentioned Akeem Nicks, and Eric has frowned both times. Big E, why are you frowning?
Because if this is a fantasy scenario where you could have anything, anyone that you wanted, Hakeem Nicks doesn't even make a top 20 in my mind.
He's just not that good. He's that familiar with Hakeem Nicks. When Hakeem Nicks is right, he's a tremendous athlete.
I'm very familiar. It's my job, and he's not that good.
Well, it doesn't mean because it's your job that you could not be familiar. There's got to be somebody in the league you're not familiar with.
No, but a guy like that we've played, you know, in the Super Bowl, we've played them in the regular season.
We
played them.
That sounds better than just saying it's your job. But at any rate, I want to just make a couple of points. Okay, fair enough. You feel like there's a lot better out there, but that was just my opinion.
That's fine. And Patrick, you're welcome to it. And I don't think it's a bad choice.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, again, in a fantasy scenario, who's the number one guy you'd go out and get? And, you know, and I appreciate you did preface your choice by saying, I think this guy's actually gettable.
Yeah, he's gettable.
Yeah.
So here's the other points I want to make out. With Hernandez, Gronk, Woodhead, Ridley, Lloyd, Welker, and Branch, not with Brady, you can understand that he's pressing. He's probably trying too hard and maybe thinking too much. And I think that's what's affecting him. I know what the fans are seeing, John, and I know what you're seeing. You're seeing throws behind the receivers.
He does.
Seeing when they're open. Sometimes he's not seeing them because he's either worried about the pass rush.
That's correct.
Or maybe looking the wrong way or maybe not trusting the players. So I think all these things are having a big impact on him. And then there's two other things. The guy that used to work with him on his mechanics, the guy Martinez, the guy passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes when you lose that security blanket, you know, it could affect him mentally that this guy isn't around anymore. That one guy who he could turn to, that whether it was something mechanically or something psychologically he could do for Brady, maybe that's a missing component. That, you know, that's a factor.
Sure, I can understand that. If that is the case,
the
I can understand.
The point I want to make is this: Brady, how many years has he been in the league, roughly?
This would be 13.
He's been to 14.
He entered in 2000.
That's right. He sat in 2000.
This is his 14th
that's right.
Season.
14th season. Yes.
All right. 14. So technically, he's played 13 seasons then, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. He's been to 5 Super Bowls. I mean, he's not that far from almost being a 50% Super Bowl player. So let's say he's a 45% guy in terms of the amount of times he can get there.
Mm-hmm.
With what he's done, he's got so much equity that, although we see some slippage, we really can't think about a replacement of him yet. I mean, I don't think it's wrong to maybe look at what and they already thought about it. They brought in Ryan Mallett as someone who they thought that they could have sit for a while. But in terms of really taking a job from Brady, he's got too much equity, and I think that, you know, they'll give him at least another season or two before they really pull the plug on him. And then lastly, a couple of things I wanted to mention. Ridley being out, I think, really hurt New England last week, and I'll tell you why.
I agree.
Bolden is a good player, so is Blunt. But when you take guys that are role players and you try to get too much out of them, then their warts begin to show.
Yeah,
and I think Ridley has that explosiveness to him that these other guys kind of don't have.
Agreed.
And I think when you bring these guys in, asking them to go beyond the role that you have really laid out for them, then things begin to have like diminishing returns. Maybe the right way for me to phrase that.
And I think that's actually a pretty astute judgment. And I would argue also that that's part of the problem you have with the Wookiees at wide receiver.
Yeah, and then lastly, the offensive line.
Yep.
Someone mentioned, I don't know if it was Tyrone or the other caller, someone mentioned that they seem to have trouble with the more athletic lines, and they do, because I know, you know, the Giants and their line used to give them problems, but last week I really thought that O-line was roughed up. When they couldn't get it in from the one and then they had to resort to that tackle-eligible play, that kind of told you that Belichick felt he couldn't get in on these guys.
You're right. And when you have...
From the 1 foot or the 1 yard line or whatever that was, you got to be able to punch that in.
No question.
That may have been where we lost that game.
No question. And I would tell you that I think part of the problem here is that I'm there's either a communication problem or there's something going on with Ryan Wendell. He has not had the year that I think a lot of us expected him to have.
Well, John, one
he's
more
been
comment
get, he's
on
been
Wendell.
Getting muscled in that position.
When he first got in there at that center job, I liked him because I said, wow, this guy really is able to get out and get the running game going. However, this year you see him sort of getting manhandled a little bit.
Yep.
And the other guy that was really manhandled last week was the kid on the left side, Soldier.
Yeah.
Nate Soldier. He was completely manhandled last week.
He did not have a good game.
Those two guys really, really had a tough way to go. John, I'm going to listen. Thank you a lot. And tell your partner that I'm not upset with him. I just thought he was a little tough on me, and I was just retaliating.
Thanks. No worries at all, Patrick. Patrick says, you know, all's good with him.
Tough on him for saying that Hakeem Nicks isn't that good?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's not being tough on the caller.
No. You just disagreed.
Well, it's just stating fact.
Yeah, that's all.
He's not that good.
Okay.
To be a top choice for, I mean, I know.
But he's a gettable choice.
Well.
He could be a gettable choice.
Maybe.
Could be.
Maybe. But I want a guy who's healthy and consistent. They've got enough.
If we're going fantasy, I want Studley.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
That's the
you
big
know?
Thing.
If somebody asks you, you can have any woman in the world you want, you don't say Roseanne Barr because she's gettable.
Right.
Am I right?
No, I would have to say that probably is not in my thought process.
Right.
No.
Right.
No. Here's Robert in Indiana.
Does Giselle have warts?
Good one, Kevin. You
wow.
kept that as a drop. I like that. Hey, Robert, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just think we just take a deep breath and just relax with the Tom Brady situation. Because we are 4-1 with a couple rookie receivers. That who's not proven, but once everybody come back, I think we'll be all right.
Okay.
Amendola, I think once he get healthy, I think he'll be great for us. And honestly, I like Amendola a little better than Wes Welker. Amendola single-handedly won us that Buffalo Bills game to gag me week one with hobbling around on the field.
Amendola had a great week one game. Yes, he did.
I think he single-handedly won us that game. I mean, that last drive was pretty awesome to see a guy that's hobbling around and make those type of catches.
Okay.
If I would have to trade for any receiver, I would go get Justin Blackmon. Hmm. A receiver that's young, who will be around for a while if Belichick don't go all, you know, get rid of him or whatever, who could be around for a while, who's proven in the NFL. And I would actually draft a quarterback this year because I think Brady got about 2 or 3 years left and make him sit behind Tom Brady.
Okay.
And just learn the system.
Okay.
But I also think Brady needs to, on the field, Brady needs to relax a little bit. And so I think he needs to be more of a leader. And I think you need to not so much as yell at those guys, but I think you need to sit down and talk to them so they can understand what's going on. Because I'm thinking those guys are not understanding what's going on. And Brady yelling at them kind of doesn't do anything. The frustration of him.
Okay. I'll buy that. So, I buy all of that. That's good.
So if a receiver is, you know, getting a read, a cover two look from a corner, but it's really cover three. Brady needs to show him those pictures that they get on the sideline and break it down to him and start, you know, so they can start understanding the game a little bit more instead of getting frustrated with him and going to sit down.
Yeah, I'm sure that I think that's a good point. I'm sure that that's part of the process, without a doubt. I'm sure that's part of the process.
But also, I think that Brady is at a time in his career where he wants to win now. And I don't think his patience level is there.
That's also very, very true. Also very true.
To be patient with these receivers. So I understand where you were coming from as far as saying these receivers that we have now was not for Tom Brady because, you know, the patience is not there with a veteran guy who's been there.
That's part of it.
You need a guy that's going to be patient, that's going to talk to his receivers. And, you know, Brady, we all know that he's not patient.
That's part of it. That's absolutely part of it. Robert, thank you for the phone call. You got time for one more real quick?
Sure.
All right. Mike in Tampa, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, Mike.
Great show as usual.
Now,
I usually agree with you 99.9% of the time.
But this is 0.1.
this is the 0.1, unfortunately. this whole Brady thing, you know, look, before I do make my opinion on that, all this new crop of quarterbacks that you talk about in college, forgive my ignorance, are most of these pocket passers, scramblers?
All of the above.
Because I'm not sold on, I'm pretty steadfast when I come to the opinion when I say that a scrambling quarterback will never win the Super Bowl. Now, okay, you could say maybe Steve Young was maybe a scrambling quarterback, but I still think he was a pass first. One thing I hope.
So was Roger Staubach, by the way.
Roger Staubach?
Mm-hmm.
I still wouldn't classify him as a scrambling quarterback.
Oh, he was very much a scrambler.
But still a passer first, no?
Yeah, sure. But you can be a passer and a scrambler. Roger was particularly adept at moving the pocket. And that's what I think you may need in today's NFL in order to be able to beat the athletic fronts that you're facing.
And that I understand. But would you not agree that what's going on in Philadelphia is a pretty good reason why we shouldn't jump to conclusions and say, oh, let's find an option quarterback.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying option. You still need a guy that's going to stand in there and pitch the ball.
That's just my concern. I don't want to. I probably would not watch the Patriots if they do get away from maybe drafting a pocket quarterback and then go to a scrambling quarterback. That's one thing that I do not want them to do.
Well, you're lumping scrambling quarterback in with running quarterback. Two different things.
Correct.
Two different things.
Yeah, perhaps I'm using the wrong terminology. Yes, running quarterback, which I hope they don't do, which seems to be the trend in the NFL right now.
Right. Correct. Correct. So, and I don't think they'll go that route. No, I'd be surprised if they went that route because I think it's shown over time in the NFL, no matter, how athletic a league it gets, that it's just probably not your best way to win.
Correct. Now, as far as all, I'm going to have to be unoriginal when I pick Larry Fitzgerald for which player I think we should go get.
Right.
But, if he's available, that would obviously be, something I would go for.
So far, Mr. Fitzgerald's an overwhelming favorite.
Yeah. As far as, drafting a quarterback this year, I still would like to see what happens when Brady gets all his weapons back. And I do think that he's still accurate. I mean, granted, it was preseason, but in preseason, he still was hitting, he's hitting all of his receivers like right in the chest. And again, it's preseason, but still shows that he's still accurate. There hasn't been a huge.
He's also going against base, vanilla, nothing packages, and mostly against second, third team and rookies in preseason.
Oh, I'm not saying that because he was successful, in preseason that, but the accuracy is still there. You still have to run the route. You still have to catch the ball, and you still have to be in the correct spot, correct?
Right. Right, you certainly do have to do that, but you're not getting that in the regular season. So basically, that doesn't exist a lot in the regular season.
Right, and it's all got to do with him just not being confident with his receivers, and I'm convinced of that.
I think
when you get everybody back, if he's still not doing that when everybody's back, then I'd say yes, go ahead and look for another quarterback.
Okay, that's fair. That's absolutely fair.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Okay, Eric's got to go work, so it means we need to take care of some business, Kev. Kevin,
the orchestra's a little slow today.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
You said you have not watched the League of Denial documentary yet?
I have not.
You have it recorded?
Probably somewhere,
okay.
Yes.
I would highly recommend you do.
Yeah, my DVR records everything. So,
my word of the day is tied into that.
Okay,
it is sentient.
Sentient.
Yes.
Okay.
S-E-N-T-I-E-N-T.
Sentient.
Yes. This quality or state of being conscious, of experiencing feeling, thought, like knowledge, just consciousness is probably the best way.
Okay.
To do that, and I use that because it's about the concussion crisis, and when players suffer a concussion, they lose their sentient state of being.
Interesting.
At least momentarily.
Interesting.
But the long-term effects, one could argue, like in Mike Webster's case, when you see this documentary, he's the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Boy, he lost his sentience significantly towards the end of his
of his life.
Which is sad, which really is why, I long thought that the retired players really, if they wanted to stick it to the NFL, I think they could have, but they didn't want to because a lot of the guys that were part of this lawsuit wanted to be able to reap some benefit from...
While they were alive. Yeah.
While they were cogent, where they could appreciate some of the money that'd be coming to them. So they settled. They flat out settled. And I guess I don't really blame them in that instance, but they could have really socked it to the NFL and dealt the NFL a pretty serious blow.
Were you aware of the word? Had you heard of it?
No, sentient? No, I'm not really aware of it. But now that you mention it, I probably heard it before and just didn't really recognize it. So it's possible.
Okay.
That's a good job out of you.
Curious to find if
Miss Robin says the same thing.
The teacher knew.
Well, we're going to find out what the teacher says very shortly, I'm sure.
Cool.
All right, Big E, go right.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, you will, manana.
With quite a doozy of a word of the day.
Oh, you've already got tomorrow picked.
Yes, I do.
That's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
All right, very good. All right, let's get into break here. Let's continue. Got a lot of emails. I got Facebook posts, and I got tweets to read. Couple of big things. Continue our discussion over Brady from yesterday and into today. And number two, the question of the day is, if you could trade for any one player in the NFL, knowing what you know about the present-day New England Patriots, money's no object, contracts are no object, who would it be? Let me know. Go.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
And we're well into hour number two of Patriots Playbook here on Patriots.com Radio for Hump Day. Guess what day it is? Where is he? Do we have the camel in there anywhere?
I don't have him in the drop box.
Damn.
You know why I don't
have
him?
He's got to be in there.
It's really hard to get the voice without the annoying music in the background.
Guess what day it is? How's that? A pretty good impression?
I should just use you.
Mike.
You know what we should do?
What?
Maybe after the show, you know, I start the replay, and I have you just go for like a minute and do your camel thing, and I'll just cut it up, and we'll use that.
Did you know that he's going to the big screen?
You've told me that.
Yes, yes.
You're very excited about
it. Yes, I'm very excited about
it. You can even watch all his ads on your brand new big screen phone right there. You can watch his, if he's in a movie, you can get it right on your phone there.
Love the camel.
I can already see it. I can already see the text coming in. John Rook, ping, about, you know, 1:30 in the afternoon.
That's right.
Can't make the show today. Okay, why? Got in an accident. How? Rear-ended a guy while watching Talking Camel on phone.
No, that will not be me. I will not get into an accident. Well, I do not text and drive. I don't do anything
good
with my phone.
Good, I'm
while
proud
I drive.
Of you.
I do not. I have to admit, before I get into reading a lot of these things here, and thank you for sharing again today. Pretty cool. Well, I signed on to the Facebook account today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 new friend requests. That's pretty good. Right off the bat, that's pretty good. And I got like 10 new Twitter followers yesterday as well.
You're a lightning rod, I tell you.
Maybe it's because people wanted to throw darts and BBs and shoot BBs at me. But other than that, you know, thank you anyway for your joining up, I guess, or your willingness to just take parting shots, one or the other.
Signing up for the insane asylum.
Signing up for the insane asylum, indeed. All right. Speaking of Facebook, my buddy John says, good show today, sir. What are your thoughts on TCU alum Josh Boyce? Any chance you'll start getting more chances out there? You know, Johnny, I've actually wondered the same doggone thing. I can only tell you that based on what we've seen in practice, he's not yet at a point where he could beat out Dobson or Tompkins. Now, I don't know if that means he doesn't really understand the playbook. I don't know if that means he's just behind them talent-wise. But I know that Brady's comfort zone, shaken as it might be with the Wookiees, is a little bit more unsettled with Boyce. I tell you, the thing that confuses me, and we haven't gotten a direct answer to yet, is why isn't Boyce, with the apparent speed that he has, why isn't Boyce getting a chance to return kicks? I'm just kind of wondering out loud about that one. I think at some point in time he will. I don't think they've given up on him. I just think they're trying to work the other two into a comfort zone more than Josh at this time. He's just a little bit below them in the pecking order. That's all. But I do think that they still feel like he's got value. Matt says on Facebook from earlier, he says, John, how dare you? Ha ha. Looks like you get the masses going. You mean 12 won't play until he's 75? Come on. I think last week was a bad week, and they'll rebound this week. Once again, it'll be the defense in this one, but I think the offense can take advantage of the Saints' defense. Saints' defensive line is not as good as the Bengals' young athletic line. Don't want to get too far ahead, though. Saints' study is in hour two, but once again, how dare you? Thanks, Matt. How come nobody is saying they want to go get Calvin Johnson? I love Fitzgerald, don't get me wrong, but I'll take Johnson. He completely changes the way you attack defenses. Imagine him outside, Amendola inside, and Gronk going up the middle. You or I could play quarterback in that offense. It's a great, great point. And I'm a little amazed why no one said Calvin Johnson yet, but we'll see what the email account has to say. And then he says, by the way, I want J.J. Watt over a ton of guys, too. Him and Chandler Jones would have a great pass rush potential. That's also a good choice, J.J. Watt, if you could trade for anybody right now. Michael says, in addition to the whole Brady story, he says, Packers, by the way, picked up Rodgers to plan for life after Favre. Do you think your suggestions will be available in the draft for New England? And do you think the team would use draft capital to get one? To be determined, my man, to be determined. But I think that, yeah, it could be. Sean says on Facebook, he says, my picks to trade four. I tried to go get Larry Fitzgerald or Victor Cruz. Victor Cruz is another one I thought that would get some play here today. I would also go get Darrell Revis to play alongside Tlaib in the secondary. To all the people that are giving you grief about Brady, come off it. As a fan, I want this team to be in the best position possible to succeed when Brady does decide to hang it up. So as I said yesterday, keep your options open. And as the coaches always say, do what's in the best interest of the team, whatever that might be. Fair enough. Okay. Now, what is this? I got a message here from, if I can get it to load here. Oh, I see. All right. I'll take that offline. Good stuff. All right. Let me get to Twitter. At JR Broadcaster is the Twitter address. Dan says, trade for Megatron. Yep, there you go. His threat would help our pass and run offense, raise Brady's spirits, and mentor the young receiver crop. It's a good as any. Not surprised that finally now we got a few people jumping on Megatron's back here. Marco says, let's see, with you on the TB12 matter, it's about the team, TEAM, not the prestige of a player. Love him, but love the Pats even more. And then he says, as far as the trade, Larry Fitzgerald all the way, please. The reason? All the obvious. In fact, his name fits to our organization. Fitzgerald! Let's get him! I assume you mean the whole Irish Catholic thing around here. That's okay. Got it. Pretty Boy on Twitter says, trade for anybody in the NFL? Pats need wide receiver depth, as in Randy Moss or Jordy Nelson, or D-line with J.J. Watt. Not Randy Moss, dude. Sorry. That ship has sailed. Jordy Nelson, I'd come a little bit closer to getting. And certainly J.J. Watt, I definitely would be all over that. Patriots had a chance to draft Watt, as you'll recall, passed on him. Just saying. All right, let's see what our email account has here, because I know I got a bunch of them in here. Gabe from Chicago says, John, this is one of the few times that I disagree with you. Okay, that's fair. I think Brady and the Wookiees are still getting used to each other, still working on their chemistry. I'm pretty sure I've heard Brady say that he doesn't usually feel completely comfortable with his receivers until about week 10. So I think we should still run the offense, give the offense some more time to get it together. As for the one player I would get in a fantasy deal, I would probably go with Dez Bryant. He's a beast, unstoppable in the red zone, and I think any character issues would be fixed in New England. There's one for Dez Bryant. And again, I think that's a good choice. Robin in Alaska says, I'm trying to be different here with my trade pick. I'd trade for the Panthers' Charles Johnson. He's a bad boy player, a good defensive end on a nothing team. I'm willing to let Brady and company find their footing if I could get a dangerous but realistic addition to this team. Johnson isn't the creme de la creme, but he could help this defense. And I qualify this by saying I'd want Johnson to be told to just eat the quarterback. Come on in, suit up, rush. Like that. That's good. Good. All right, now we're getting into some juicy stuff here. Pavan in Secaucus, New Jersey says, John, have been listening to your show for quite a few years. I cannot call in this time as I am at work. But coming to your question, it would have been nice if you and the callers can discuss about realistic options than this hypothetical scenario of trading away anything and giving away a lot of money. All right. My realistic option would be something like what the Patriots have pursued already. It is Emmanuel Sanders or Antonio Brown. Steelers, anyways, are going nowhere this season, so they might be willing to trade any of these guys. That's actually an interesting point, Pavin, because Emmanuel Sanders is a guy that they gave an offer sheet to in the offseason. Steelers matched it. Now I'm not sure what the length of his deal was, so I don't know. Would they be open to talking? Might be worth at least kicking of the tires anyway. It's Olu, I think I remember the address from. He says, as with every argument, the truth about Tom Brady is probably somewhere in the middle. Of course, there has been some erosion in his athletic ability, but not enough to justify all the hand-wringing. Guys like Tyrone are the reason why I just get so frustrated. This is a guy who still threw for nearly 5,000 yards and 34 touchdowns just last season. How can I take Tyrone seriously when he makes the point that Brady was slinging in the snow in Chicago 2 years ago in Chicago and can't do it now? How in the world is that the same scenario as a biblical torrential downpour where the ball is so wet you can't even grip it properly? With the right weapons around him, Brady still gives us a better chance of winning right now than 90% of the alternatives out there. And I'm not even saying you have to go out and get a Fitzgerald. Just getting all the current skill players back from injury would do. And all this talk after five games? Don't the Patriots usually have one game early most seasons where they look absolutely horrendous offensively? And how have those seasons ended? The bottom line is that, yes, it's fair to start thinking about the future right now, but there is nobody currently available out there that would give you a better chance of winning a Super Bowl within possibly the next couple of years than Tom Brady, period. I'm really tired of belaboring this point. You are, Olu, you're very well said in your email. But again, you're right. It's five games. You get everybody healthy. I think we all understand that, you know, it could turn around quickly. But if we didn't take a look and we didn't become somewhat provocative in looking a little bit ahead and trying to create a discourse or some discussion here, it'd be pretty boring, don't you think? I mean, how much do you really, really want to hear about the two down and three down, you know, front defensive alignments of the New Orleans Saints and what gives them a better advantage of getting penetration into the Patriots' offensive backfield? I mean, really. If you're that kind of a person, then okay, hey, more power to you. And we try to deal with a lot of that as well, especially when it comes down to getting the nitty-gritty and game planning, and we do a lot of that on Thursdays if you listen to the show at all. But we try not to bog you down in too much X and O because, quite frankly, it just goes whoosh, right over everybody's head. So, you know, we try to take a look at big picture issues primarily on this show, in addition to what the hot topics are, in addition to what's currently going on with this team. But we also have to take a look ahead because that's what fans, for the most part, want to talk about. People are interested in it. That's why we talk about things like, you know, trades that, you know, we know that are not necessarily realistic. But you cannot tell me if you're a true fan You haven't thought of, geez, God, what would it be like if we actually had a Larry Fitzgerald on this team, or we only had a Megatron on this team? You have to have thought about that at least once or twice, especially when you're cursing the guys for dropping the balls that they've dropped over the last couple of weeks. Yes? No? Maybe? Nah, no maybe. Yes or no? And if you say, no, I didn't, well, then I question your sanity. Because we all have done that. Look, I simply, absolutely, 110%, unequivocally, want Tom Brady to be here for as long as he wants to be here. But if this team is going to make the decision to move on, or this team is going to go with a different skill set, primarily in their skill players, and they are, you know, they've got younger guys, you know, maybe the answer is in the offensive line. Maybe they got to do a better job because the offensive line hasn't done a great job this year. I can think of one game, well, you know, that they got beat up pretty good, the Jets, and then I think they got handled pretty well again this last week against Cincinnati. So that's 2 out of 5 that you'd have to say goes to the other side. They've been fortunate in the other ones. Fortunate. They've also won them, but they've been fortunate. But I don't know that you really want to take your chances with that, because I think you can make the argument as you look at the schedule on down the line that the competition is going to get tougher. Clearly, Denver's offensive line, and they've had, you know, a big change to make this year as well, but Denver's offensive line has kept, you know, Peyton Manning fairly unscathed. I mean, he's taken a couple of hits, but they seem to be getting better as the season progresses. And a lot of that is because those receivers are dynamite. And those receivers know how to get open. And those receivers, you know, they're on the same page with Peyton. Those receivers also include Wes Welker. So, you know, you've got superior weapons there. And maybe superior weapons in New England again help the offensive line out. I certainly will allow for that. But if you're not gonna go out and get the superior weapons, you're gonna stay with the status quo, you might want to think about also changing the status quo at quarterback. That's the only thing about the entire discussion here. Josh says, John, Josh from Stratford, Connecticut here. I think all this talk about getting into the QB is insane. Brady's going down as one of the greats. We're 4-1 this year with rookie receivers. Let's play it year by year. As far as getting any receiver I want, I'd say pick up Calvin Johnson. That man is just a beast wide receiver and get separation. What do you think? I totally agree with you, Josh. Man, if you get Megatron, then by goodness, you gotta go get him. You gotta go get him. No question. Yes, Olu from Maryland. All right, I read that one already. He's saying Tyrone is bonkers. Di, who says, a loyal listener in Dallas. Thank you, Diana. John, I was astonished to hear your analysis yesterday for the team steering away from TB12. Don't you think the better option with a fast solution would be to surround him with a big-name veteran offensive player like a Nix or a Johnson? Why squander the last few years he has to play? Now, that's a very good point, Diana. It's a very good point. I would like to see the team do that. When are they going to? See? Obviously you can't answer me initially, but I'm just saying, when are they going to? And, you know, that's not a rhetorical question. That's an honest question. So, okay, yeah, I'd love to see that. When? They don't do that. They don't do that. They haven't had very good luck at judging wide receiver talent, period, with the exception of Moss. So I would suggest that they should go out and do that, because that would certainly make Tom a better quarterback, and it would certainly play into his abilities that he presently has and allow this team to continue to be successful for the last, you know, 3-4 years of his career. He signed to the age of 40. If you could go out and you could get someone like that, absolutely, 110% do it. I'm waiting. She says, if Brady had the same weapons as Denver and Peyton, we would not be having this conversation. That's also very true. I'm still waiting for that receiver. By the way, my sweet husband bought me tickets for Pats versus Texans in December. Can't wait to see them. Nice. So you guys are going to make the drive from Dallas to Houston, and you're going to go see the Patriots and Texans. Fantastic. I hope that we'll hear from you, especially before that game, so we can keep an eye out for you in your TB12 jersey or whatever jersey you have in the stands at Reliant. We will revisit, Diana. We will revisit. Brad in Central California says, check out Derek Carr from Fresno State. Better than his brother David with pretty good numbers. Should still be available by the time the Pats pick in round two or three. Seems smart and athletic. He beat Rutgers this season. Just a thought. Love the show. I will check him out. Derek Carr from Fresno. I've actually heard the name. I know that he's out there. I just, you know, get a chance to see a whole lot of Fresno State football here on the East Coast, but I will definitely pay attention now. Thank you, Brad, for that note. Let's see. Mark from Saskatchewan says, I remember in training camp, Mallett talked to the Browns, and now there's talk about the Browns and Josh Gordon being available. Okay, so I think the Patriots should move a late-round pick and Mallett for Gordon. Then use this draft pick to draft a quarterback to learn and be groomed over the next few seasons and learn from Tom. As far as a player I could trade for, it would be Megatron or Patrick Willis on the defense side of the ball. Patrick Willis, all right, first vote for Willis. That's a good choice as well, I think. Megatron gets another vote. He is quickly, by the way, in my unofficial tally here, Megatron is quickly catching up to Larry Fitzgerald, Kevin. So, you know, Megatron is gaining in popularity here as we continue with the unofficial survey. If you could trade for anybody in the NFL right now, money's no object, you know, contracts are no object, who would it be? If you're tuning in late to the show live today, web radio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. At JR Broadcaster, Twitter, John.Rook, Facebook. David in Lancaster, California says, how about Marcel Darius from Buffalo? There would be no way they trade him to us, though. That's true. That's probably true. Darius is a nice talent. Would you trade Tom Brady to whoever has the first pick in the draft next year and take Johnny Manziel? No! Can I be unequivocal enough? No! Not the least of which, Manziel's an Aggie. As a Longhorn, I'm never drafting an Aggie. I don't care if he wins 6 Heisman trophies in a row. And which he might do at A&M. Ba-dum-tsh. Yeah, you got to give me one. Thank you. Anyway, no, and in all honesty, Manziel's had a, I mean, look at him. He makes plays. He just makes plays. I get that. But I'm not sure he translates to the professional game with what he's got. I really, how big is he? 6'1"? I don't know. I have doubts about his game translating to the NFL. That's all. Just a thought. But no, I don't think that's the route that I would go. Daryl says, John, I can't disagree with what you said yesterday anymore. Other than Amendola and maybe Edelman, there isn't a single wide receiver on this roster that would start for any other team in this league. Brady is not the problem. Switch him and Peyton, he'd be setting the records in Denver. While Peyton would be Manning facing constantly on the sideline. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. I did think about that, by the way. That's actually an excellent point, Daryl. I thought about this week while I was watching the Denver-Dallas game last Sunday, which was a tremendous game. I mean, how could you not be entertained by 51-48? But as a former Cowboy fan, for those that know, I grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan, that I was, you know, wringing my hands, gnashing my teeth, cursing Jerry Jones under my breath, more so cursing Tony Romo under my breath. You know, Tony Romo, come on. He threw for 5 Bills. 5 touchdowns and lost. The guy has got a big fat L on his forehead. Doesn't he? Anybody else a Cowboy fan or follower out there? Anybody disagree? I mean, God love him. He's got a lot of talent. He cannot win a big game to save his life. He just can't. And then the pick that he threw late in the game, that's a perfect reason. There may not be any more of a star-crossed quarterback in recent NFL history. Maybe with the exception of, who is the guy from LSU, Kev, that was drafted by Oakland?
Talking Jamarcus Russell?
Yes, thank you, Jamarcus Russell. But Jamarcus Russell hadn't had, one-tenth of the success that Tony Romo has had in the regular season for the Dallas Cowboys. But when it comes to big games and playoff games, Romo is a loser. He just is. I believe me, I have rooted as hard for him as I humanly possibly can, as any other Dallas Cowboy fan could. And he just cannot get it done. I am so ready as a Cowboy follower to move on from Tony Romo. Somebody asked me the other day when I was watching, said, hey, would you swap Romo with Brady? Hell no. Let me repeat that. Hell no. I think we have a Brady drop on that. Do we have a Brady hell no? Or is that WEEI that has that?
Hell no.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tom. I knew we had one somewhere. All right.
Hell no.
Thank you, Tom. Not making that.
Yeah.
That's right. Daryl says, having said that, there's only one quarterback in college that I'd be interested to sit behind Brady, and that's A.J. McCarron. Great leadership, knows how to win a big game, can make all the throws and run a pro offense. A few years behind TB12, he could be special. You know, that's an interesting pick. That's an interesting pick. You know that, you know, Bill Belichick would certainly be interested because he's a Nick Saban guy. McCarron, you know, he's certainly seems to have the prototypical frame, got the ability, you surround him with talent, seems to be able to make the throws, lead in offense. I would buy that. He's probably a guy you could get in round two or three, certainly not a round one guy like the other guys that I've mentioned before, you know, but he's certainly a guy that could, you know, that's not a bad choice. And Daryl, you're the first person to bring up McCarron as a name. That's not bad. I like it. Good job out of you. Jason from Cork, Ireland. Hello, Jason. He says, I think the only way the Patriots will have success in the next couple of years is with TB. I think you're overreacting. After a tough start to the season, maybe at the end of the season or next year, you can have serious conversation about it, but we lost a tough game on the road. The team is banged up, so it's early in the season. Not time to be talking about replacing Brady. Be positive, not so negative. Thanks, John. Thanks, Jason. Let's see, what else? John in South Carolina. I was actually waiting for you to sound off about this, John, because I figured you probably would if anybody would. And he says, I watched every snap Taj Boyd has ever had at Clemson. And if you're saying he would be successful with these receivers, I think that's crazy. Taj Boyd does not move well in the pocket. He moves well outside of the pocket, running for first downs against slow defensive linemen. He gets tackled for losses, often finds himself in third and long because he didn't get rid of the ball when he had a chance. He also has not had a season without what would be in the NFL an all-pro receiver. He had DeAndre Hopkins, currently the best rookie wideout in the NFL. Now his primary receiver is another first-round draft pick, Sammy Watkins, and Martavis Bryant, who may be better than both of them. This year his offensive line also does not stink. Last year when he had both Hopkins and Sammy Watkins, he got his butt whipped against good athletic defensive fronts. Sounds like a frustrated Clemson fan here. Just like the Pats did against Cincy. Give Brady the equivalent protection Boyd has and the same weapons, and Brady will still score 30-plus a game. Difference with Brady right now is he's playing with receivers that would be third string on Clemson's team. Fair enough. Problem is protection. There's no way Brady should be pressured with a five-man rush in less than 2 seconds. It happened four times and twice on third downs in the Cincy game. Please don't paint me as a reactionary Brady lover. I disagree with your premise anyone would be successful without the talent of either wide receiver or offensive line improving. All right, John, that's a fair email. Give you credit where credit is due. If someone who has watched Taj Boyd, and I'm sure it sounds like you've watched him more than me, I'm going on based on what I've seen. So maybe I've caught him in good games and in clips that I've seen him, in a couple of games that I've actually seen of Clemson. And if you've seen more, I'll take your word for it. But I certainly have liked what I have seen to this point. And I would argue that apparently the pollsters do too, because Clemson right now, they don't stub their toe in a couple of weeks against Florida State, could very well be playing for a national championship this year. Robin says, perhaps one of the ways the Patriots' offensive issues could be minimized is by going to a huddle more often. Maybe the Patriots' super tempo, no huddle approach is just counterproductive to developing these inexperienced players. Going to a huddle more often doesn't mean you have to dumb down the offense. Just gives everyone the chance to get on the same page. Not being on the same page seems to be the biggest issue between Brady and his receivers. You know, an interesting point, Robin, and I think that's something that has also crossed the frontal lobe here. The reason that you don't do that is because when you are usually in a five-wide package, you're trying to keep the other team from subbing and getting their nickel defense in. And so if you've caught them in a basic package where you can have an advantage against them, that's the reason for, you know, playing the up-tempo and hurrying up and, you know, not allowing the other team to be able to sub out. They're, you know, so once they sub in and they're able to play with nickel or even a dime defensively, then you've kind of lost your advantage there. You don't see a lot of teams go to the Super Temple no huddle and ground the ball, you know, by running it. You see it some. But then you're also running into the teeth of a defense. If you catch them in a package that, you know, they look pretty base in, well, then maybe you might want to think about doing that. But that's part of it. So when you do that, that's fine. But then you are also saying to the defense, all right, you know what? We don't really care what package you bring in because we're going to try to beat you with superior talent. And I don't think the Patriots have superior talent. So it's almost, to me, a catch-22 here. You need to slow it down so you can get on the same page with your receivers. But if you got the receivers in the game and you've caught the other team a little bit flat-footed, you got to hurry it up in order to be able to take advantage of the physical mismatches. I don't know. You're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Interesting point that you bring up, though. Daniel says, great listening. I was wondering, after looking at who participated and who did not in the shameful display against the Bengals, what does it take to convince the decision-makers that the horizon needs to be broadened and the blinders need to drop? Thank God the exception was the decision to boot Sudfeld the hell out of Foxborough. Maybe he can catch in his backyard, but not in an NFL game. Well, he was picked up by the Jets, so don't be so quick to say that. But why, instead of putting Mulligan in, who actually scored a touchdown, do you put in a left tackle who's in a dreadfully uninspired play as a target in a goal line situation? And why do you hire an Austin Colley off the street and then not play him for a single freaking snap? Would he have done much worse job than the other so-called pass catchers on the roster right now? I'm frustrated because I don't feel there's time to lose here. Whomever is not producing instantly is a waste of time. Okay, interesting points you bring up. Austin Colley, we did talk a little about last week. I'd be surprised last week, and obviously they didn't activate him because, you know, here's a guy, first of all, that has had some serious issues, especially with concussions in his time, and he's got to get up to speed with the offense to boot. So they figure, I think, that because of the kind of offense that he ran largely in a place like Indianapolis, where he had a lot of success with Peyton Manning in the past, that he'd at least be familiar with some of the concepts that the Patriots have here, and that he might be able to catch up quicker rather than later, sooner rather than later. But maybe not soon enough. That's why they brought him in. And then Mulligan, I can't explain to you for the whole tackle optional pass that, you know, they thought that because he was a tight, he was a tight end in college first before he converted to tackle. They thought that basically Bengals would leave him alone if he got a clean release from the line. The problem was, if you go back and look at the tape, he did not get a clean release from the line. He got tangled up. And so he's not exactly, fleet-footed, especially with the extra size and weight that he's put on since he became a tackle in college. So he just couldn't get to the ball. He had a half a step on the defender, but he couldn't get to the ball in time because he got tangled. It had to be, the entire thing was predicated on timing. And as we've all seen, that's been the biggest problem with the Patriots offense this year. It's predicated on timing, and the timing has been off. I don't mind the effort. The execution was what really was difficult. Steve, our friend in Killeen, Texas, says, after listening to the Playbook podcast yesterday, I can offer John sanctuary out in the Badlands of Texas, but he will have to change his name to Pablo. Thank you, Steve. That's good to know. I still have a home at home. Seriously, in raising the question of the future quarterback for the Pats, have we forgotten the history of the Bledsoe to Brady transition? TB12 was a huge question mark when he stepped in to take the reins, and as we look at recent history from the point of view of building for the future, we did it with the tight ends, although everyone is aware of the Hernandez situation. Talent-wise, he and Gronk were upgrades to the offense. Welker and Woodhead, again, we know the story there. Talib, buck the normal trend, pay the man. Overall, Pats Nation has been spoiled by the talent we've had and the ability to cobble together the great unknowns to build a winning season. The Bengals lost stung, but they played to win the game. Now on to the Saints. I'll save that for tomorrow. Thank you very much, Steve. Glad you got my back. Robin in Alaska. All right, they didn't get a chance to read this one. I read yours already here in the show, but I'll read this one because they didn't get a chance, I don't think, to read this on PFW. It says, before you guys drill into Rook, I feel the need to say something. I don't believe that Rook was saying get rid of Brady. I don't believe that Rook was saying I want Tebow or any other fill-in-the-blank mobile quarterback right now. Rook seemed to be saying that present-day Brady, both due to age and the temperament of being at the end of slide of his career, is not in the position to coddle a young and inexperienced offense. And because of all that, Brady today might not be the best fit with how this team is built right now, both by personnel planning, injury, and bad luck. Rook's passion at first clouded this sentiment, but before he had the chance to reassert his idea, the damage was done. Nice. Nice. Thank you very much, Robin. But Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire says, Rook goes on this rant about mobile option read quarterbacks. I never said option read quarterbacks, Joel. You're the idiot. Listen to what I said. Listen to what I said. Option read. I never brought that into the equation. Ever. Not once. Not read option. I don't want somebody that's Michael Vick. I don't want that. That's not what I'm looking for. You need a guy that can stand in the pocket and throw the ball. Or do you throw the ball? That's what you need. Okay? Good. Did I make myself clear? Thank you. Love you, Joel. Thank you. Even though you don't love me. Ray from New York. John, I missed your live show yesterday, but caught the podcast, and boy, oh boy, did I miss a fun one. Where do I begin? I agree with you that we need to start thinking about the future with Brady, but I disagree completely that he might depart via a trade. You know that would be a media nuclear bomb and would fuel a deep, vengeful fire in Tom. I don't know about that. I think Tom's pretty solid in his business acumen. I think he'd realize that if the Patriots ever did something like that, that it would certainly be a business decision and it would fall in line of Bill Belichick's always saying, we do what we think is in the best interest of the football team. Ray says, the fallout would set public perception of the Patriots organization back exponentially. And you know the NFL will have Tom facing his old team each year for a revenge game, no matter what move we made at quarterback. I put money on a Pat's loss there. Not worth it. Now, I don't agree, Ray, but okay, that's fine. I completely agree with the caller from Toronto about the playbook. Throw it out. We have new receivers with new skill sets. We would do well to design plays around them. To put this in computer terms, we have two operating systems on one platform right now, and they're clashing. In the end, the new one always wins because it's an upgrade from the old. TB can still sling it fairly well, but the roots and decision-making with the current playbook is likely too much for the young pups. You know, that's actually a really good way of dumbing it for me and relating it for the rest of our audience who are probably a heck of a lot more IT inclined than I am. That's a good way. Two operating systems on one platform right now and they're clashing. In the end, the new one always wins because it's an upgrade from the old. I'll leave it at that. Ray says, put Dan Connolly back in at center. He filled in for Copen, helped bring that team to the Super Bowl. He has the experience and the skill set to do the job. His track record proves it. His nitpick was, I'm really getting tired of watching the Pats send off good players to go to other teams and have success. West, the obvious one, but also Woodhead. Danny's having a hell of a year with San Diego. I can't just fathom why we needed to downgrade from him to a rookie or Vereen. We often forget about Woodhead and his contributions, but he had his fair share of touchdowns. Plus, he stayed healthy. If they work here, keep them. We should not be a proving ground for the rest of the NFL. He says the iPhone's a better fit, but I think I've already made my decision. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate that. I just like the bigger screen of the Samsung S4. Sorry. And then Mary says, John, Mike Wallace I'd get. As far as a player to go after, Mike Wallace I'd get. He's young, and BB would whip him into shape. And then she says, by the way, good choice on the phone. Sent from my Verizon Wireless 4G LTE smartphone. Okay. Thank you very much for that, Mary. All right. Excellent. Excellent right there. Some good stuff. Let me check back in. David says, I like how the Tom Brady topic is still alive today on the show, and I would trade for Victor Cruz for a 1-5. Oh, so you give him a first-round pick and a fifth-round pick for Victor Cruz? Really? Well, they don't have fifth round, do they, anymore, the NFL? Yeah, they do. They go to seven rounds now, right? Yeah. What am I thinking? Oh, I'm thinking of the NBA. That's true. They only go two rounds now. God, how soon we forget, right? A 1 and a 5? Whew. I don't know. I don't even know if the Giants would settle for that. I think you probably, you know, you'd probably have to definitely give up a one. Probably definitely have to give up a one for a guy even like Victor Cruz, even if the Giants would trade with you, trade for you. Cruz is another guy that I'd really love to be able to take a good look at. I think, first of all, he'd be very popular here because he went to UMass, number one. You know, with the Latino population we have in this area as well, I think it would actually probably be a pretty good fit overall. What else do we have here? A couple of other things have come in. Trade choice from John on Facebook says, Clay Matthews, they need defense. He's a game changer when healthy. Can't argue that point, even though he's not healthy right now. Let's see. Yeah, here's another one for J.J. Watt. He and Chandler Jones would have great pass rush potential. Here is another one. Let's see. Oh, that's an old one. Okay. Let's see. What else do we have? Anything else? Nope. Looks like that's it. All right. So, bottom line is here today, as we kind of begin to wrap this thing up today. Hold on. Hold the phone. Stuff's coming in as we speak. Jonathan on Facebook says, I honestly don't see us making any major trades before the season ends. It would be best if we shift towards the offense, toward this coming draft after the season. With healthy offensive veterans and fresh young talent, this offense would be dominant again. Also, if there was a quarterback in this coming draft you'd be interested in the past drafting, who would it be? Kind of talked about that already, Jonathan. You know, certainly Boyd would be an option. I don't think Jameis Winston is eligible to come out. A.J. McCarron is an interesting choice as well. Probably get him in the second or third round out of Alabama, you know, with the whole Nick Saban thing. I'd like that one. That'd be okay. I'd love to see him be selected and work behind Brady for a couple of years. I think that one makes some sense right now. Thomas says, John, thanks for the ad. Really like the show. Greetings from the German capital of Berlin. Thank you, Thomas, and welcome. He says, P.S., I would trade for Jimmy Graham to recreate the Boston TE party. Oh, I like that. That's good. Right. Okay. So since we kind of had that with Hernandez, you could kind of recreate that. And okay, I like that. That works for me. It's too bad it won't happen. But, yeah, I kind of like that. Here's another one for Larry Fitzgerald. Here's another one for Victor Cruz. Let's see. Did I leave anybody out here as far as suggestions? Looks like... Okay, that looks like that's it as far as the other ones are concerned. Okay, all right, just to sort of recap, right now it's come right down to a slight edge in our unofficial poll that if you could make a trade for anyone in the NFL, money's no object, contract's no object, draft pick's no object, slight edge right now for Larry Fitzgerald. Slight edge for Larry Fitzgerald over Megatron, over a guy like Calvin Johnson for Detroit. A couple of other defensive suggestions came in late for J.J. Watt, but it looks like definitely receiver is where the fan base and the listeners to this program are basically aimed. Is that the case, Chester in Portland, Oregon? You still thinking receiver here, too, if you could trade for anybody?
Yeah, John, I am. I mean, you know, the two that I have in mind are obviously Megatron and A.J. Green. I mean, we talk about hands. You know, those two guys have the softest hands in the league and the playmaking ability, you know, to pay homage to Mr. Fathead Andy Hart. You know, we need playmakers on this team. And you know, all this to me says that our man Eldridge had this right all along. And I think we're just laughing because Randy Moss is part of that equation. But, I think that, you know, the biggest thing to blame here is Aaron Hernandez in that whole situation. You know, this offense committed to the tight ends, and we passed opportunity and opportunity over. You know, I think at the end of the day, that's what we got to look to in terms of our shortages there. And our conversation yesterday definitely got me thinking on that end. So that's my thought on that.
Good points.
So, you know, as far as this game, a sneak peek, I think it's going to be a big, big Patriots victory, 38-17. Defense gets the score, and Gronk goes ballistic. That's my quick take on that. Make no mistake, New Orleans is a different team outside. They're not in the dome, so let's take that into account.
Wow. That's anyway. You're really stepping out on that one. I mean, listen, if the Patriots score 38 points, I think you'd have people ready to say this team's on a roll. We're headed to the Super Bowl. We're going to win the AFC. I mean, you're going to talk about a complete 180-degree turn from what we're talking about this week.
I think the brain trust comes back with Gronkowski back in there. You know, I know you guys are tempering expectations, but this guy's been practicing since week two. I think, you know, the arsenal comes out. I don't think that Ryan's going to have enough game planning time to get ready for Gronkowski there. And, hey, guys, I'm aiming high. I say the mojo comes back, and I say the defense continues to improve and contributes on the scoring end. 38-17, that's what I got. I'm going to be out tomorrow, so I wanted to sneak that in. Have a good day. Go, Pat.
All right, good stuff, Chester. Thank you. I'll give you the final word today. That's interesting, to say the least. 38-17, I wish that I could share your confidence where that's concerned. I'm not quite certain that I can do that. I think we'll probably continue to kind of talk about that, of course, a little bit more in depth tomorrow, because on the playbook for Thursday, Larry Holder, who covers the Saints for the New Orleans Times-Picayune and NOLA.com, NOLA.com, he's going to join us here in the playbook to talk all things about the Saints and being, of course, one of three teams in the NFL that are 5-0 through 5 weeks. And where is the Achilles heel? Is it on defense? Is it in the secondary? And can the offensive juggernaut, short of Denver's juggernaut anyway, but can it be slowed down? What does Drew Brees not do well? Because I'm not sure that there is any one thing that he doesn't do well. So Larry Holder is going to join us tomorrow in the playbook, as will, of course, Russell S. Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, as he normally joins us on Thursdays, as well as we'll hit around the entire NFL, and take a look at some of the key games in week number six. Like, the fact of the matter is that, you know, this team is 4-1. We'll try to put it in some perspective for you here. There's no question that anytime you get beat in the form and fashion that you were defeated this last week, that you're going to have some questions arise. And your questions have come up. Doesn't necessarily mean that this is doom and gloom, but at the same time, you always have to try to look ahead and consider the big picture in your line of work, wherever it may be, whatever it is you may do. Those that don't look at the big picture, just, I would argue you're not successful. I would just argue that, you know, unless you have an eye always to the future and you stay mired, you know, in the past or in the present, that you're doomed to the past. So, you know, you've got to always be thinking ahead. And I had to come to some real, interesting own decisions in my own mind about Tom Brady, because, frankly, I think he's been a great quarterback. He's proven that. He still is a very good quarterback. I still think he's probably a top five quarterback in the NFL, even with his shortcomings right now. Because largely on offense, even though I think the defense has done its fair share of carrying the team in the first 5 weeks, largely on offense, Brady's abilities have carried what we've seen from the offense. And yes, this team has been woefully shorthanded on offense because of the injuries and because of the transgressions of others. So he's swinging, you know, for the fences with a hole in his bat, to borrow sort of a baseball analogy here. He doesn't have the deck stacked in his favor. And so he's doing the best that he possibly can. But it got me thinking, all right, so what happens now when the rest of it crumbles down around Tom and TB12 and the rest of the team? What do you do? And I'm thinking you probably need to think more mobile, you need to think more athletic, and you need to think, strong arm, you got to think all of that. Not that Tom doesn't have a strong arm now, but you got to be thinking along those lines. Ryan Mallett, he's got a very strong arm. He's 6'7". He can see over just about anything that's coming at him. He's not mobile. He's not swift. He's a sitting duck if the pocket collapses. We've seen some struggles with this offensive line this year. I'm not sold that he's the answer. I don't even think the Patriots are sold that he's the answer. He's a stopgap measure right now, and that's about it. Food for thought. I'm sure it'll be a topic that we'll revisit for another day. Tomorrow, it's all Saints all the time right in inside the playbook. Thanks to Escal. Thanks to you for all of your participation today. Phone, Twitter, email, Facebook. It's all good stuff. Don't forget to follow on Twitter, at JR Broadcaster, and go see some of those highlights of some of those kids that I was talking about earlier. Sent that tweet out earlier today. Same patch time, same patch channel, right here in the playbook, manana. Ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning?
The force from the beginning. Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.